Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 363. Ego, little word, three letters, but it's a big word. It's hard to grasp, hard to understand. But that's where I am along the Pro U path. I'm a walking. It's Tom, the Pro U guy. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following, supporting my journey as I walk the earth, have experiences, and then share those experiences with those that I care about the most, you, the Pro U listeners. You are truly appreciated. Thank you for being you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for deeming yourself worthy. You know, it's like I spent a lifetime, 50 years, doing one thing. And over the last five, I've sort of transitioned over to some newer, different, better things that have provided me the opportunity to be the best version of myself that I've ever been. And what, you know, you attract that which you're like, you know, what I'm receiving. Just stuff I've never experienced before. And again, this is 2020, the year of COVID, the pandemic, the big shutdown, the global panic. And in March, I was like, this is the best year, 2020. And I wrote a note, been this way since March. It's now August. So I like having value. If I'm going to have a podcast, I would love to have something of value that people would tune into, listen to, and hopefully something will resonate with them. But the great thing is I keep looking back going, you know, I wasn't saying the things I'm saying. I wasn't looking at the things I'm looking at. I wasn't experiencing the things I was experiencing 5 years ago, but I started. I didn't quit. 5 years ago was 6, 7 years ago was like the worst time ever for me. It's like totally starting over. It's like the caterpillar crawling or the butterfly crawling back into the cocoon one more time. And I never really thought anything was going to be, you know, I mean, at 48, I was like, wow. When I wasn't like, yeah, okay, now I'm going to turn everything around. Now I'm going to do it differently. Now I'm going to really deem myself worthy. I mean, that was not written down in my mind's eye at all. But that's what I mean. I'm not like the brightest guy. It wasn't like this complex set of moves. It was just, no, do these little things. Be thankful. Stay present. Focus on that which you can control. Let go of the things you can't control. Easily stated, harder to apply. But like anything, over time, you get better at it. And I did. So now I'm like pretty keep it simple guy. You know, it's like, does that work? Yep. Do you like it? Yep. You want to keep doing it? For sure. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're getting. So that's where I am. And each Thursday, I release this podcast talking about, well, here's this great thing. Here's this wonderful thing. Here's what I'm experiencing. And that's like all I would want my listeners to get. I want you to have the experiences that I'm having. I sit with a client no matter what I tell them. I don't have an agenda. I don't have an ulterior motive. I'm not trying to help them so I can get more money. I just like helping people, and I can. Cool, check, doing that, done. And it just has this resounding peace. But then it's like, okay, well, that just reinforces being present and being more thankful. And then, okay, I'm going to let go of the things I can't control more, and I'm going to really control the things that I can control. And wow, this feels good, and poof, here's another experience that comes in. And I'm like, all right, I like this ride. I'm going to keep doing this. So thank you for being you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and enjoy. So I was intrigued by a three-letter word this past week, the ego. So I have an article, Psychology Today by Mark Leary, What is the ego and why is it so involved in my life? The term ego is as confusing as any in psychology. Not only is the word itself used to refer to several distinct psychological constructs and processes, but the psychological landscape is littered with concepts that include ego in one way or another. Egotism, ego defense, egocentrism, superego, ego involved, and so on. But what does ego actually mean? What are we talking about when we refer to the ego, and what is the difference among all the terms in which the term ego is embedded? Put simply, the English word ego is Latin word for I. Literally translated, ego means I. Use of ego crept into psychology mostly through the work of Sigmund Freud. In Freud's theory, the ego is part of the personality that arbitrates between the animalistic desires of the id and the moral and social standards of the superego. But, interestingly, the word ego does not appear anywhere in Freud's extensive writings. He never used it. Rather, ego was a translation of what Freud, writing in German, called das Ich, literally the I. In essence, Freud was referring to that conscious decision-making part of you regard as part of you that you regard as I. As when you say, I dislike my mother, or I decided to change jobs. That is your I, your ego. So most terms that include ego involve processes or reactions in which I, me, or mine figure prominently. Consider egoism, the motive to act in one's self-interest. Someone who is behaving egotistically is simply pursuing his or her own goals, as we all do. A motive is egoistic when it's focused on what I want. Or egocentrism. Egocentrism has also been used a number of ways over the years, but it comes down to perceiving the world and interpreting events from your own personal vantage point. We are all inherently egocentric in that we never break free from either our physical vantage point, I can perceive the world only from my physical location in space, or our personal psychological perspective that is influenced by our experiences, goals, beliefs, identities, preferences, and biases. People differ in degree to which they can step outside their own perspective to see things from others' viewpoints, but we're all locked into our own egocentric viewpoint because there's no way for us to process information except from our personal frame of reference. Egotism is another common ego word in psychology. Egotism involves evaluating oneself more favorably than is objectively warranted. Just as we are all egoistic and egocentric, we also tend to be egotistical as well. Thousands of students show that people are biased to view themselves too positively. Perhaps the broadest ego-based term, egoic, is also the least common. Although it is common into vogue, ego simply means pertaining to ego or pertaining to I. Egoic thoughts, motives, emotions, and behaviors are reactions in which I, me, and mine take center stage. An egoic reaction is one in which I am centrally moved. Much of the time, people's thoughts, motives, emotions, and behaviors are infused with themselves, with their I. They are thinking consciously about what they want, what they are doing, who they are, and what other people think about them and how things are going for them. In these situations, people are being egoic. They are highly self-absorbed, and their reactions are all about them. At other times, thoughts, motives, emotions, and behaviors don't involve much ego, not much I. When you're engrossed in a good book, working on an engaging task, having a comfortable conversation, or are in a flow experience, your I has receded into the background. You are responding automatically without much conscious self-related thought, and you are not currently concerned about who you are, what you want, or the implications of events for your personal interest and well-being. In these kinds of situations, your responses are not dominated by I or about thoughts of me or mine. We might say that you are being low in egoism or hypoegoic. Note that egoic has nothing to do with being egotistical. Egotistical people may certainly be egoic, but highly self-critical people may be egoic as well. People who view themselves very negatively, as highly depressed people often do, are often highly focused on themselves and thus quite egoic. These terms, egoism, egocentrism, egotism, and egoicism, and their adjectival forms are easy to confuse. Yes, but they refer to different, though sometimes related ways in which our ego, our focus on I, can influence our thoughts, motives, emotions, and behaviors. You know, I have posted before the titles of the episodes of my Pro You podcast. And if you just look at the titles, it's kind of like a map of where I've been headed, where I've traveled. So all this stuff is like, you know, verbiage, words that I didn't really understand or use, and you know, none of it really resonated with me. But I kind of start feeling something or understanding it, and I read something, I hear something, and then there's this little light bulb that goes off. I'm like, hey, what's that third eye thing? Hey, what's that vibrating thing? Hey, what's that? And so on and so on. And the ego has just really been kind of confusing to me. Haven't really thought about it much, but Mosher and I were chatting, and you know, it's just so funny how much I can think about Zen and be like, I want to be like him. I can learn from him. So I was talking to Mosher, and he's like, well, think about Zen. Zen doesn't have an ego. I was like, you know, that like really makes sense. Like you go, oh, well, like Zen's not sitting there going, I am from, I want, I was trying to achieve, now I feel, you know, there's no I. You know, there's no ego. And that's like, that made the biggest sense to me when I thought, okay, what's ego? I'm not sure, but Zen doesn't have one. I was like, okay, aha. Because he's not, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. I want to drink water. But it's not like it comes from this, I am, you know, Zen raised by these parents and this sibling and this is what happened and this is what I wanted when I was, you know, there's just no I. And that's why I Googled it. I got one more. And this is from the Buddha Groove. I love this little site. Zen Story, Wishful Thinking. I had to read it. Words like that in the title. There once lived a stone cutter who was unhappy with his insignificant life. Passing by a rich merchant's home one day, he was awarded by its grandeur and the streams of visitors going in. He must be a powerful man. How I wish I could be him, he thought. Astonishingly, he found himself transformed into the merchant. Surrounded, though he was, by unimaginable riches, he also found himself the object of hate and envy by those less privileged than him. Just then, an important official passed, carried by attendants in a grand procession. Oh, how powerful that gent looks! Wish I could be him. His wish came true, and he found himself riding high. All around people watched him go past with expressions of fear and hate. The richly embroidered chair suddenly felt sticky thanks to the sun beating down. Looking skywards, he thought, how powerful the sun shines. I wish... No sooner did the thought bloom than he became the sun, burning fiercely from the sky and cursed by peasants and farm laborers. Then an enormous dark cloud blocked the sun. No prizes for guessing the man's thoughts. He became the cloud, which burst forth with rain, causing floods and misery. Shortly, he felt an irresistible force pushing him. It was the wind. How powerful it was. No sooner did he wish than he became the gusty wind, wreaking havoc with rooftops, uprooting tree trunks, spreading fear and panic. Sometime later, he found himself coming up against an object that was immovable. No matter how forcefully he blew, it was a towering rock. Oh, to be that rock, he thought he, and indeed, he became the rock, hard and invincible. After a while, he heard the pounding of a hammer on a chisel. He was being changed, but how? Who could possibly challenge his power? Looking down, he saw a small figure at the bottom. It was a stone cutter. And if you remember the very first line, there once lived a stone cutter who was happy with his insignificant life. You know, it's that funny that, you know, that's, you know, is it neither good nor bad, we shall see. You know, one day something good, one day something bad. One man's, you know, garbage is another man's treasure. You know, just all these things of just substituting your thoughts, your emotions, your experiences, and then distancing yourself and kind of being aware. Because that, you know, a very, very long time ago on the podcast, I talked about the Myra syndrome, which was basically a person that I recognized and kind of made this story up about him. It's like, you know, you have five blessings in your life. And if you're not focused on those five things and thankful, that's your problem. So what this gentleman did, he wasn't really thankful for these five. He just kept talking about adding six and seven. And he wished number three was different. So whenever I was with this person, I was like, you know, here's these five things that you could be so thankful for and just come in just happy and be like, wow, I can't believe how blessed I am. But there was this sense of complaining, of wanting, of needing, of it not being enough. Those five were, okay, I'll take them, but I want more. I want different. I want better. So fast forward, what happened? Well, number three never changed. He never got number six or number seven. He lost number four. And that's kind of that thing where people think, oh, this house, this car, this health, this relationship, this marriage, whatever, it's just going to last as is. Because you got it. So there it is. I don't have to flame the fire. You know, I don't have to keep that afloat. I can focus on other things. So I just watched it happen. And in reality, this person, number four, was their job. Lost their job and kind of took havoc. And next thing you know, I found out he was in therapy, which was great. But, I mean, he went through a lot of stuff. And I'm like, well, all he's trying to do is get back where he can see with clarity what he has. You know, life kind of does things to you. And hopefully you come out of that test, event, moment, experience with better perspective, knowing what you should or shouldn't focus on. Because it's like, you know, I kind of had this thought going, you know, I've been the same since March. And this is, again, kind of trippy because, you know, I'm not one tooting my horn about how great my life is and how easy it is and how wonderful it is and how great I am. You know, I've shared honestly and openly for, you know, 5.5 years my journey walking the earth. And, you know, 2020 was kind of a year I was looking forward to. Zen turning 5, podcast turning 5. I'm turning 55, and in March I did. And I just was feeling really great. And then April, pandemic, May, June, July, August. And I just kept getting a little bit better, a little bit better, and not with more stuff. So it's just, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty basic dude. I mean, I've grabbed that knowledge and go, that's what I will now sell. Like, look, I don't have more. I'm just really focused on what I have, really thankful for what I have, and that becomes a superpower. And when I, you know, was always teaching a class and then wasn't anymore, and I was always going to this gym and then I wasn't more, and I was always doing this type of workout and I wasn't anymore, and I was always running in the morning was then, and then I wasn't. There were all these things that were ending, changing, stopping, pausing. What was I to do? Simply respond. I mean, you know, there were points where I was like, I'm not that anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I was. Who am I? It's like, well, you know, you're in transition. You're learning about you, so you can't juggle all the balls at the same time. Some you set down and you pick up new ones. You're like, okay, see, now you're finding out about you. You're not trying to get bigger, stronger, faster all the time. You've done that, obviously. That wasn't the answer because you kept searching. See, I just believe we're all searching for a better version of ourselves. And how we got there, you know, it said, how you survived your life might not be the way you want to live the rest of your life. And that made so much sense to me. And I'm like, exactly. You know, you got here today surviving, getting through everything, and you know, you kind of build certain characteristics. This is how I survived. I mean, survival, I mean, I don't think of the word survival and think joy, hope. So again, you get through the stuff, like my first 48, 50 years, and I'm like, okay, I got here. Now what? I'm going to live differently. And to me, these are big things. You know, I remember sitting there going, okay, I'm, you know, Zen's hurt. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not working out. I'm not running in the mornings. You know, it's like, well, how are you? And I could see that I was still better. Like, I never lost sight of that. Like, okay, that's changing. I might not be doing that, but I'm better. You know, because the quiet in my mind, the perspective, the clarity that I had achieved, growing through what I was going through, was always like, you know, I kept seeing breadcrumbs. Well, I'm getting that. Well, I'm learning that. And like, this was stuff I was never learned. I was never learning before. You know, I wasn't learning about myself. I wasn't growing. So now it's like, hey, if you made more money or if you were stronger or if you were married, doesn't make you better. Now you're better because you're looking at you. You're learning about you. You're stopping, pausing, reflecting. You're not just living that narrative. You know, on that gerbil wheel, doing what everyone else is doing and not questioning it. See, you're the best you just because you stopped and you paused. Because you've never done that before. I mean, I was going to come up with this list. Why are you the best you? I'm like, well, I would just list my things that I've noticed. You know, it's like the quiet, number one. Psh, done. I'm the best me. Why? Well, I didn't have quiet between my ears. And as soon as there was, I was like, what's this? Quiet? Wait. And pursued it. That becomes a muscle. It becomes stronger. And you become better at it. Cool. All right. Quiet. temper, thinking about things that I have no control over, thinking about, you know, people and why I don't like them and all that. I was like, Ricky, stop. You can just not do that. You can not think those thoughts. You can actually think different thoughts. You can pick thoughts and then feel better. Best me. It don't matter what I have. It really doesn't matter. My income, my savings, anything. If I'm putting thoughts and words, meanings into my mind, along my path, that I've never experienced before. That's what it is. I mean, that's full on what it is. And most of the time, chatting with clients, I know I said this before, it's like, you know, I tell people how to feel, I tell people what to think, and they do, and they feel better, and I love being in that position. Like, well, there's my purpose, that's what I can do, what I love to do, what I do, and it just, you know, it just felt great. But I had this moment where I said to a client, yeah, but you're the best you, and he said, well, no, I'm not. I was like, what? We've been chatting for a long time, and we had had many moments where he agreed with me. And I thought, well, here's that. There's that kind of human thing. And I've said it before. I believe, you know, my gift is I can see things typically with people that are very obvious to me, and they can't always see it. Now that becomes a challenge, because to me that is the problem. It's like, the, you know, you can be thankful for one thing every day. You just can be. And if you think about that one thing, yay, you block out all the other stuff. So it's that continually, mentally, manually shifting your perspective to the three good tires. In lieu of what's happening, be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. But, you know, life was doing some things to me, you know, taking some things away. I wasn't doing things that I had done for a very, very long time. But that's what started kind of being the light bulb going, oh, see, it's not doing all the things I used to do. It's embracing the new things I'm doing, understanding why I'm doing new things or why I'm not doing old things. And what really matters at the end of the day, you know, I like to lift dumbbells. I like to lift heavy. I like to have that feeling. Yeah, I just haven't had that feeling in like 2 years. Would like to, just didn't get to. It's like, well, do you want to go back to that gym? Well, not really. Okay, so you're not at a gym. Do you want to pay to go to another gym? No. Okay, well, you're not going to another gym then. You're at home. Well, you don't have a bunch of weights and machine. Okay, so what? Shut up. Are you the best you? Yes. Okay. Then that's just part of it now. You change. You grow. You evolve. Don't hold on to these things. I got to do A to feel B. Wow. So I was talking to a client. And this client's married, and this client has kids, and I'm talking about a bunch of different things that have nothing to do with me. But it was that same kind of scenario talking to him. It was just like, okay, well, 6 months ago we talked about this and that, which you really didn't know what was going to happen, and a year ago there was this stuff in your head, which you had no control over. So it just seems that it always comes back to, are you present? How do you stay present? Being thankful. Being thankful for what you have. Well, what does that do? It just allows you to focus on what you can control. not what you can't control, not what you used to do, not what you wanted to do, not what was taken away from you. What you have in front of you is what you focus on, is what you're thankful for in lieu of the rotation. You know, I mean, I can't remember how many times I've said, you know, A happens, step one, the thing, the action. I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not happy. I'm not even focused on that thing. Whatever it is. Because it doesn't have anything to do with me. I can't control it. I immediately go to step two, phase two, my chosen response. And it was like, you know, AA, next indicated step. I go, look, if you get that phone call and they say do A, all right, there you go, next indicated step. But you don't know. They haven't called or it's changing. What do you do in the meantime? Be thankful for what you have. Focus on what you have. You know, no matter the outcome, can't stop what's coming. You want to be a 6 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. The 6 out of 10 is probably thinking about things that they can't control. The 8 out of 10 is going, look, there's X amount that I can control, so I focus on that. And I'm really thankful that that's what I get to focus on, and that's the stuff that I can control, because when I'm focused on that stuff, controlling that stuff, I'm present. I'm in that moment, and I'm thankful that I can do that, and that seems to block out a bunch of noise. It just does. It just literally seems to block out a bunch of stuff that was pounding at the gates of my mind for 50 years. And then I moved to this place in Hollywood and I never asked for anything. And I go, I'm just going to be thankful. And I'm like, I'm just going to be thankful and mindful. And then I healed and I said, I'm going to start a podcast. And I'm going to be thankful and mindful. And I'm going to tell people to be thankful and mindful. Fast forward 5.5 years, 2020, pandemic hits. And I keep talking to people and I'm like, I've been this way since March. I'm just good. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm not thinking about what I wanted. I'm not thinking about what I had. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just trying to be like Zen. You know, if I'm recording a podcast just like this, sitting at my desk, and I look to my left, there's Zen. And if he's not sleeping and he's looking at me, there is no I. I mean, it just is so clear to me. Like, he looks at me like, hey, like, hey, what you doing now? What are we doing now? Hey, no concept of what day it is, what, you know, time of it doesn't matter. I mean, he might be hungry, he might have to go to the bathroom, but other than that, it's just, I'm here. I am here. I'm present. What are we doing now? Like, I get to learn from my dog. Like, I didn't set out, go 8 years in between having a dog so I could go locate a dog to become my life instructor, my life coach. But, you know, Mosher talked about the ego. Think about Zen, and I'm like, man, he never gets thrown. You know, he's just always himself. You know what I mean? Little dog going nuts, like, okay, I'll just walk by. Dog being really nice, okay, I'll walk up to him. You know, just goes with whatever. And again, I just look at him, and he can just be still for the longest time. Stand and looking for the longest time. I'm like, how can I have all these videos? I'm just watching Zen. I'm just intrigued. I just watch him. And most of the time he's like being still. I'm out. How does he do that? See, he just is. He's just present. He's just in the moment. There's no noise. There's no ego. There's no I. There's no I in the word Zen. There's no I and my dog Zen. And, you know, I'm telling you, like, this is what I want. This is exactly what I want. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to be like my dog. I want to pursue Zen. I want to really understand what this whole ego thing is and really understand the benefits of dismissing that, losing it, setting it aside, and just trying to be like Zen. So it's a weird kind of weird. So I made a frame, made a picture, turned out really cool, and I'm always like, you know, Zen garden is full. And I'm like, okay, do I keep this as a present? Do I store it? I got this one cupboard with some things, and I'm like, you know, what am I going to do with this piece? And I really liked it. And I'm like, I should, like, there's just nowhere to hang anything. And then I looked and I saw a cross that I made for my sister Tammy 8 years ago. And it's not super fancy. It was never meant to be, you know, just made it quick, took some pictures of it, brought it to the beach. And but then it was like, well, that's, you know, the cross I made for my sister. And I had three roses from the flower arrangement that was around her ashes. And slowly over time, you know, these roses of, you know, like the rose buds gotten smaller and smaller, and leaves have fallen off, and they were kind of dusty and dirty, and I kind of took, you know, some of the outer leaves off, and it's still there's three roses, and I'm like, wow, they're 8 years old. And then the leaves that fell off, I kind of gathered them, and it was just this thing about, like, well, what are you gonna do? You can't take that cross down. What do you mean you can't take? Well, you don't always have to leave it up hanging. Yeah, I do. It's the cross I made for Tammy. I'm like, you got this really cool picture framed. You want to hang it up. You're like, oh, I can't. Sammy's cross. And it wasn't a big discussion. It wasn't that dramatic. But it was just there. I looked at it. And so I just took it up, put it down, took the roses out. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to sand this cross down and, you know, kind of tweak it, make it a little different. But there was this thing about, like, wow, when do you... Because I got a couple pictures of me and Tammy in my bathroom and us five kids, and a picture I gave to Tammy, and then this picture she painted in frames that I made. So it's kind of like this little area in my bathroom. It's devoted to Tammy. And I don't want to ever be that person, like, you walk in, you see some big, you know, altar thing for someone. It's like, you know, just focused on that person's passing or them not being in your life. It's nothing any healthy. So I don't want, like, that kind of a vibe, but I like those pictures in my bathroom. Just two pictures, a picture that I took, a picture Tammy drew, so four, and they're all in a frame, and it's just like my little, this little area, and I like looking at it, I like remembering Tammy. And but it's just, again, funny how, like, me growing up with Catholicism, and there were just things you just didn't question. And when I got to the point, I was like, well, I'm going to get rid of my yearbooks, photo albums. It's like, what? It's like, well, I don't look at them. Like, you know, again, like these just rules that we live by. And it's like, well, you can't take that cross down. You know, so I took the cross down. I hung the new picture up. Looks great. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's just kind of trippy out. Like, we kind of come up with our own rules, or we're following rules, or these things that have, I don't say, hey, yeah, but, you know, that's a cross you made for Tammy. What are you going to take that down? I'm like, yeah, it's my apartment. I can move stuff. I can. But that was just kind of a trippy thing. Like, you know, am I being disrespectful? Should I just do that? I mean, how long do you have to have those vigils, those physical things up? And again, to me, like, I don't know, just as part of, I mean, it's like the Catholicism. It just sits there going, oh, here's the right, wrong, good, bad, you know. You better do this. You're gonna, you know, just the guilt of, like, that's kind of where it felt. It's like I was going to grab that cross and take it down. It's like, hey, 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 somebody, hey, what are you doing? I was like, what? Like, I can do what I want to do. That was a weird thing. But again, I like kind of pumping the brakes and just being aware why I'm doing what I'm doing. One cool thing I noticed, I was making, this was another frame before I made this, and I bought a brand a long time ago with my logo on it. And I would, you know, burn these little wood chips and then have my brand. And I was just putting it on the back, you know, back of the frame. And there at one point, I'm like, I love my frames. And I look at it and I go, I can tell I made that frame and I'm proud of it. And I started putting that wooden logo on the front of the frame. It's like, you know, you got this four pieces of wood and they're all perfect and they match and they look great. And it's like, then you're going to stick this just weird logo on. Yep, right in the front. So it's like, oh, like it's a Tom Dieter's frame. I go, see, that's what gives it value. It looks nice, but when you put that branded wooded logo, now, you know, it's a Tom Dieter's frame. And I thought, you know, that's kind of like knowing your worth. Like the transition of, oh, here, I'm just going to put my logo on the back so it doesn't bother anyone. Evolving towards, no. Nah. You get a frame from me, logo's on the front, deal with it. So, I guess I just wanted to end with a challenge. Simply based on me. Like, I'm not the most amazing dude. Not the biggest brain, not the strongest, fastest, nothing. But I got to a pretty dope place in March. Felt really good. And it wasn't because I was getting stuff, gaining stuff, material things, relationships, money, success. So to me, it's like, oh, because it was the real stuff. Not the external. Not temporary. It was the real stuff. What I can control, I will. What I can control, I will be thankful for. What I have, I will be thankful for. I will make that world so small that I have complete clarity on what has to deal with me and what does not have to deal with me. Whatever happens, I will respond. I will choose that response, but no matter what happens, where I am, what I'm doing, I will be the most thankful person that you know. I will not stray from being thankful for what I have. If I have less in 3 months, 6 months, a year, I will be thankful for what I have. That has become my stronghold. And seeing if I'm waking up every day thankful for what I have, it really, really keeps me present. And when I'm present and I'm in the moment, it's like I have clarity about like what I can control. You know, I don't look at, oh, I woke up this morning in a world consumed by a pandemic, in a state consumed by wildfires, in a city, you know, filled with people that are afraid to go outside. You know, I wake up, wow, you don't think like you used to think. You used to wake up and we're dealing with problems out the gate. Like, one of the worst feelings I had was when I woke up. Because just like, I was like, oh, remember all the stuff you were thinking about. Remember all the stuff you were feeling. Remember all the stuff you were carrying. All the noise in your head was right there. Never took a break. Never quieted. Now I wake up and I'm like hugging Zen. I go to the bathroom, make coffee, put shoes on, go outside, I'm walking Zen, not thinking about nothing, just looking at my Zen outside, walking, just being. And I'm like, why? Like, this is super fantastic. You don't need money, success, relationships, people to be the best you, to feel like you've never felt, That's what I'm going to sell. That's what I'm going to tell people. I can do it. Anybody can do it. And most of the people, most of my tribe, they're all the best they've ever been. But, you know, I can tell people, but you're going to get little things thrown at you differently. You just are. You know, if you're X amount of weight, you start working out and you lose 10 pounds, you're a different person now. You are 10 pounds less. Your workouts will change. Your eating will change. Oh, 20 pounds. Well, now you're going to have to change everything. Now you're 20 pounds. Now you're a different person. You got to eat differently now. You got to work, make your workouts harder on you. What you, those 20 pounds you lost, it'll be harder to lose the next 10. Well, you got to up that game. Challenge yourself. Make it harder. Same thing I'm always talking about. As soon as I was an 8, I'm like, I'm going to work to be an 8.3. And I'm like, that's going to take a long time because I knew where I was headed. And it did. And now I'm like, well, where I am now, March through August, like what's automatically happening? Like I'm never not like this. I made a note. I've been this way since March. Like that's ridiculous to me. That's where it's like, okay, well, that's what I'm selling. That's definitely what I'm selling. And there's been a bunch of stuff happening to the world. And I'm the best I've ever been, and I've never lost that. And that's what keeps me going. I'm thankful all the time for what I have. That keeps me present. That's become a muscle. That muscle has grown. And a very, something pops in my head, by gosh, don't serve me. I can control that. Control it. Do it. It's like three or four things that I do, that I can do. In lieu of whatever, you know, school starting, school not starting, kids going to school, kids not going to school, people going back to work, people not going back to work, pandemic here, pandemic, you know, not, whatever, it's, I'm doing those three or four things every day. Come to my well by the water I sell. And I'm really trying to grasp that ego thing. And that narrative, like those are the things that are on my mind. Why am I doing the things? Why am I thinking? Why am I feeling? And you can just really kind of dissect that and kind of pull it back a little bit. And you're like, oh, look, that looks different. And then it feels a little different. Like, oh, okay, I'm getting that. Everyone listening has at least one thing to be thankful for. And if you can't be thankful for that, that's your problem. If you can't stay present because of external things, that's your problem. In lieu of what happens, if you can't mentally, manually shift your perspectives to the things you have, the blessings you have, and acknowledge the fact just that you're doing that, means that you are in a better place, then that's your problem. You got to love yourself. You got to be proud of yourself. You got to cheer yourself on. I became that voice that I never had. I became the voice that I was to a lot of people, but I became that voice to myself. And it, again, it's just a superpower. Stay present by being thankful. Put your time and energy into that which serves you, that which you can control. Do that right there, those two, three things, and get good at it. And watch what happens. It really, really, really is what I say every close to the podcast. You are worth it. See, no one was telling me that. I had to say, Tom, you are worth it. What's it? Whatever you're going through, you're worth it. Get through it. Be thankful. Work hard. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're worth it. Get help. Ask for help. Seek help. Don't shy away. You are worth it. Find out about you. You're worth it. find out how to navigate your pro-you path, you're all worth it. Deem yourself worthy of whatever you need to do, whatever it takes to navigate that pro path, that pro-you path. So you can make your world small. So you know what you can focus on, you know what you can control, and you know what to be thankful for. And to me, now you're starting to vibrate. Now you're starting to vibrate a little higher. Because all these things are starting to connect, and you're feeling like you've never felt. Thank you for listening. You are appreciated. Officially doing an add-on. Haven't done one in a while. But I can, so I will. This is a quote I just got this morning, and it really kind of reminded me of some of the things I was talking about. Be so busy improving yourself that you don't have time to pay attention to anything or anyone that distracts you from your growth. And see, that was kind of my point. Like, if you're going, wow, I'm better, and these are my blessings, and that occupies the space between your ears the majority of the time, you're not going to get distracted by other things. Focus on yourself. Focus on your blessings. Focus on your growth. That's plenty. Your mind will be full. I wrote this note down and I forgot to mention it, but you know, it reminded me of the Sunday morning messages where it's like, you know, I really want everyone to be impactful. You know, I want each episode to be impactful, to have something of value that resonates, that gets at least one person to kind of just shift their perspective a little bit towards a more pro-you vantage point. But with that, I also know the most important thing is to put something out every week, to be consistent. And not, well, you know, just wait until you have something really important to say. I would probably go weeks if I resorted to that sort of schedule. So just one of those things where you have to kind of determine that fine line yourself. You know, what's important, most important, is being consistent. And yes, I want that message to have an impact, to positively affect those that listen. But I'm highly aware that I'm just a dude, you know. And all I can do is what I do. Walk the earth, share my experience. So if I just do that, there's peace. There's peace along that path. Last one. Guess who picked up their car? I actually finished and was just going to send out the email to Nico this morning. And yesterday afternoon, one day shy of 1 month, looked great, looked fantastic. The spot that I wanted fixed was fixed. It looked like they cleaned up a couple other little things, you know, around. But I didn't get the money back for the mirror that I had originally paid for, or the window that Ken said he was going to try to get me reimbursed for. And then they never said anything about the reimbursement. They never said about anything, why it took 4 weeks instead of one. But they were super nice and smiling and going, hey, and they like me a lot, and they're super nice. And it's like, okay. So, you know, I got my car back. I didn't have to pay for it. And that was, like, the ultimate thing. You know, I was going to pay for it. So if I got it fixed, I got it fixed for free. Yay. That's the win-win. Did I get extra money? No. Did it, you know, was it in a timely manner? Probably not. But I never found out. And I didn't want to, you know, it's like when people promise you stuff, you can't, hey, you said this and this and that. It's like, you're already fixing it for free. You know, you gave me a rental car. Like, I'm not going to walk in there and ask why you didn't go above and beyond even further. So I, with my best friend Zen, are headed to the beach today. It's just a very peaceful thing having my car back. It was just kind of weird not having it and using this rental car and not really wanting to drive it. And so all is well in Tommy Land. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. And remember, what is of most value is that you remember that you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You moment. Totally stoked you're here. Let's do that thing we do. Begin to control that which we can. Eyes closed. Seated on the floor. Neutral neck. Shoulders over your hips. Navel tucked into the spine. And let's draw the inhale through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth. Slow it down. Elongate it. To do that, you're going to have to focus on that breath, and you're going to have to stay mindful, have to stay connected, which will make you present, which will block out every other distraction. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. If anything else enters the space between your ears, calmly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Congrats. Well done. Another successful Pro You moment in the books. Another feel-good moment in the books. You know, so much of... You know, I would say the first 5 years of the podcast and the 90% of my life was just like surviving. Just trying to get through. Carrying a weight the entire time. And then slowly but surely, little things done consistently, deeming myself worthy, I got to a place of peace, a place of contentment. There was no white noise. There was a bunch of purple and little yellow. And to reach that was something I never thought was possible. So when I got there, the decision to stay was pretty easy for me. I don't really care what I have to do to stay here, but I will stay here. I will deem myself worthy of all that I deserve. If you don't value yourself, how will anything of value come to you? You attract that which you are like. If you're a 4 out of 10, what are you attracting? You're 8 out of 10, what are you attracting? I just seem to have got to this place in March. Got to a level of vibration, got to a frequency where I was like, I like it here. And somehow, some way, I've been able to maintain that status since March. It's now August 2020, the year of the pandemic, COVID. Best I've ever been. Peace. And God bless.